Jeremiah 15. Let me ask you to stand, please, one last time, if you would. Chapter 15, verse 15. O Lord, Thou knowest. That's a good thing to remember. O Lord, Thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. I'm going to leave off reading right there. We'll read some more verses here in a minute, but let me read that verse one more time. O Lord, Thou knowest. Remember me and visit me. That means speak to me. Spend time with me. And revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Let me preach to you tonight on this topic, and I'll do the best I can to be brief. I know everybody's tired. On who can find a fundamentalist? Who can find a fundamentalist? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for Your help tonight. Bless these folks. Work in our hearts. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, I know we're tired, but help us, Father, to listen on purpose. Lord, help this to be a strength and a blessing and a help to Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In the Bible, in separate, different places, and you can turn over to Proverbs 20. We'll be back to Jeremiah 15, but just by way of introduction, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says something interesting. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Who can find? And then over in Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says something similar, but this time about a lady. It says, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a fundamentalist? Or how to find a fundamentalist? Now, let me explain to you what it means and what I'm using this word fundamentalist. Is one who stays, listen, it just means that a person who stays with the basics. Okay? A person who does not stray from the old paths. A person who stays with the foundations, the fundaments. That's where the word fundamentalist comes from. The fundaments, the foundation, the basics of Christianity. The fundamentals of the faith, we could say. The basic doctrines and teachings of the Bible. Many times, people will say that they're fundamentalist, or people will maybe even use that term. But nowadays, I want you to understand, this is a term that is, for the most part, scorned. You say, I'm an independent Baptist, but not just independent. All independent means is I'm not a part of any corporation or convention or association. This church is an independent Baptist church. We do not have any company backing us. The only support and sponsorship and backing that we have is other Baptist churches like us that have helped us get started, that have prayed for us, that have been a blessing to us. But when we say we're independent, all that means is we don't have a corporation or a convention to back us. For instance, Southern Baptists are part of a convention, a board of members, a committee almost, a Southern Baptist Convention. And it's a board of people, men, that sit somewhere in an office and they make decisions and they tell what pastor's going to be at what church and what church is going to do this and who can be a member. And they're dictating basically from afar what the church can do. They fund the church. They take care of the missions money. They're nothing like us. They're not independent. They have a board of a ruling committee of men that oversee and even dictate what the pastor can even do, and how long the pastor is going to stay, and who's going to be the pastor in church after church. The Assemblies of God. they also have a committee. The Assemblies of God have a committee. The Church of Christ, different. The Jehovah's Witness have the Watchtower Society. They have their churches. They call themselves churches, but really they're governed by committees of men, and instead of by God's Word and the man of God and the Holy Spirit. So, to say that I'm an independent Baptist just means that I'm independent of man's dictatorship. Man does not dictate what this church does. God dictates what this church does. So, but to say that that's not a big deal. But to say that I'm an independent, you've heard me use this term before, fundamental Baptist. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I am. And this is an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Now, but what does that extra word mean? It means that I am an independent Baptist of those committees and conventions, but I'm also fundamental, meaning that I stick to the basic teachings of this book. I do not make up my own way. I do not try to invent something new, because there is nothing new under the sun anyway. I do not try to purport condone new doctrines or new methods or new messages. Or what I try to do as a preacher, and what this church is doing simply, is taking up the mantle that Jesus left his disciples, and now it's been passed down to you and to me in 2016 currently, and we're simply continuing the work that Jesus started way back in his ministry. Fundamentals, not straying from the basics. It's scoffed, it's mocked, it's scorned, because there are people who have abused that term. There are churches who have used the word fundamental and to just be hateful, to be overbearing, to make people to try to make people dislike them. They take it to an extreme. There's places, there's churches in all over the country, really, that they may have the Bible, and they may be independent. They are, for the most part. But when they use the term fundamental, that means that they think that gives them the liberty to be hateful and cruel and critical and self-righteous and really become a disgrace to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just using this tonight to help you, because when you use the term, when I use the term, independent fundamental Baptist, all it means is I'm not straying from the truths, the basic foundations of this book, the doctrines, really, of Jesus Christ. So when I say who can find a fundamentalist, it's not about being hateful and mean. It's not about being small or big or anything else. It's about what kind of lifestyle, what is produced in them, what is being produced by that church. In other words, if a tree leans to the right, it's going to fall to the right when it dies. Right. If a tree leans to the left, well, when it falls, it's going to fall to the left. If it walks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it's a turkey. No, it's a duck. Amen. Amen. So all I'm trying to say is, we need to look, I believe, from Jeremiah 15, that we can use a few things here. Jeremiah, listen to me, was an old-fashioned, independent Baptist preacher. He was simply a man sent from God to preach to the heathen, but really not to the heathen, but to the lost, backslidden. I'll get the word out. To the backslidden people of God. He was a man that God used. They called him the weeping prophet because he spent a lot of time crying. He spent a lot of time in prison. He spent a lot of time in the dungeons. He spent a lot of time in persecution. Again, look in verse 15 that I read to you a minute ago. O Lord, thou knowest. He's saying, Lord, you know I've been through a lot. He said, Lord, please remember me. He felt lonely. He said, Lord, please remember me and visit me. Amen. Please spend time with me, Lord, because Revenge me of my persecutor. Lord, I'm surrounded by persecutors. I'm surrounded by those that don't like me. Notice what he says there again. Take me not away in thy long suffering. What does that mean? Well, I believe what that means is that Jeremiah wasn't always happy about having to preach truth to a world who did not want truth. He was not always happy to have to stand up and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," and get mud thrown in his face. Worse yet, get thrown into a dungeon. Get mocked, and again, he says, persecuted. You and me as Christians, again, this morning I talked to you about how Jesus said, don't be surprised, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. But what we need to understand is the world doesn't hate us because we're hateful. The world better not hate us because we're hateful. Because if that's the case, then we're not right with God. But being an independent fundamental Baptist is not always going to be fun, but we need to understand that it is the right way, it is the truth, and we need to realize what makes us fundamental Baptists. It's not being, again, like I said, hateful and mean and overbearing. I believe we can find a few things here that identify a fundamental Baptist, and then we'll go home. But one thing, verse 16, first of all, a few things identify who a fundamental Baptist is. Verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. This is Jeremiah again. I believe an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist preacher preaching the truths of the Bible. He said, first of all, as a fundamental Baptist, as a fundamental preacher, what identifies me is my food. My food. Now, we're not talking about brisket and chicken anymore. We're talking about the Word of God. Thy words, notice in verse 6, thy words were found and I did eat them. What does that really mean? Not literally, obviously. I'm not going to insult your intelligence, but it's drawing a picture for us that we, as those of us who stand up and proclaim the truth of the Bible, those of us who say, I believe the Bible, I believe nothing but the Bible, I believe all the Bible is my word, my stand, my shield, my buckler, my truth, and if we're going to stand on that Bible, that Bible better be consumed by us. We better intake that Bible like our daily food. Because if we stand on the Bible, we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what the Bible teaches. We have to know why the Bible says that. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Our food, if we're going to be fundamental Baptists, listen, if we're going to identify with what the basic Bible doctrines must, then we must know the Bible. We must consume the Bible. Hold your place there and look over at Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Our food, what identifies us, yes, we love to eat, amen, and as independent fundamental Baptists, but that's okay. We have more important food to digest and to consume. Job 23, 12. Neither... Well, let's begin reading in verse 8. Behold, now, do I need to explain to you quickly, and I will just for sake of argument. Job went through trials that none of us would even dare dream of, or certainly not desire. Job lost every child that was ever born to him. Job lost all of his wealth. Job lost his possessions in the same day, one day. Then, a couple days later, he lost his health. He had boils all over his body. And then on that day, his wife came to him and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Then he had friends come to him and began to blame him and ridicule him and mock him and tell him that it was because of some sin in his life that this was happening. And he told them, "Miserable comforters are ye. You're not helping me a bit." Job went through some incredible persecution, trials. Listen, God was behind it all. Why? Why would God do that? Well, because God was strengthening Job. God was making Job stronger. God was growing his faith. But I want you to notice in Job 23, verse 8, in the midst of these incredible trials, he gets pretty frustrated. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he," speaking of God, "is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." This is Job saying, "God, where are you? God, don't you know what I'm going through?" But verse 10, he says something. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me," "when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." Now stop right there. Look up here for a second. He's lost everything but his life, and his life is pretty miserable because he's sick, his wife hates him, his children are gone, his friends are blaming him, and he says, "God, I can't even find you." He says, "I'm looking for you on the left. I'm looking for you on the right. I'm looking behind, in front. I'm looking behind. God, I don't know where you're at." But then he says something interesting. But he knoweth the way that I take. Now, wait a minute. It sounds to me like Job is distant from God. It sounds to me like Job is desperately discouraged. "I can't find you, God. Where are you at? I'm going through the worst days of my life." And he was. And he said, "God, where are you? I can't find you." But then he says something, "But I know that he knows where I'm at. I know that he's going to bring me out of this, and I'm going to come forth better than I was before." How did he have that confidence? How did he endure such tribulation and such persecution? Notice in verse 12, the last phrase, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You want to call yourself a fundamental Baptist? And I do call myself a fundamental Baptist because I believe everything that Bible teaches. And the Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. But listen to me. It's going to be tested one day. It's going to be tested one day. And if you don't have the same attitude Job has toward the Word of God, he said, "God, I know I can't hear you. I'm praying to you. I don't even know where you're at. You haven't spoken to me." And remember what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah said, "Oh God, remember me, visit me." What's he saying? "God, I haven't heard from you in a long time. I'm hurting here. They're persecuting me. Everything's going wrong. I'm still preaching the truth, but God, they're not loving me for it." Job said, "But I know I'll come out of this. I know that he's trying me." How do you know that? Because the word of God was more necessary to him than eating. Is your food more important than the Bible? The brisket that we had today, the food that we had, the fun, the fellowship, I enjoyed it all. But listen to me, you can take that and you can trash it in the closest dumpster. You're not taking away my Bible. Amen. Over my dead body. Amen. Because this is way more necessary than any food I've ever eaten. Amen. That food comes and goes, and you know what I mean. It stays on a little bit longer than on some than others. But eventually it goes. And I got to eat again. Listen, this Bible here, we have got to come to a place where we esteem. What does it mean? That means I value the words of God more than my own food. If I only have time to eat or read my Bible and I don't have any other time in the day, well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to take the time and fast and read my Bible. I'm going to spend time with God. Why? Especially when I'm in the middle of a trial. Because, listen, right then and there is when I know I'm going to need Him more than ever. But you know what Job is saying here? Job is not saying, I'm reading my Bible right now. Job is saying, I have read my Bible so much, I know that book so well, that in the midst of my worst, darkest day, I know God's going to bring me out. See, we're not talking about being fundamentalists because we're just crazy and we're loud and we sing on the street corner, okay? We're talking about being fun because our food is the Word of God. Right. We feast on the Word of God before we go eat cake and ice cream. We feast on the Word of God before we go have brisket and chicken. We feast on the Word of God, amen? It's priority. It's necessity. It must be our food. If we're going to be a fundamentalist, it must be our food. Quickly, go back to Jeremiah 15. The second identifying mark of a fundamentalist, a fundamental Baptist. Number 2, verse 17 there in Jeremiah 15. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. He says, number 2, God, I'm a fundamentalist. I believe in the, he said, my food is the Bible. He said, and my friends are different. My food, and number 2, our friends. Look what he says here. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. Jeremiah said, my friends are not the ones that are mocking this book. My friends are not the ones that are making fun of Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to sit down with them. I'm not even going to associate with them. I'm not going to run with them. Right. You say, well, that's probably why they think fundamentalists are hateful and critical. No, it's because they don't know the Bible doctrine of separation. They don't understand that you and me, if we run with fools, we're going to be destroyed. Right. Jeremiah said, Jesus, or he said, God, my food, thy word. I eat it. I consume it. My friends are not the ones mocking me. I'm not rejoicing with them. You know, we should never rejoice with people that are blaspheming and mocking our God. But I want you to notice what he says. I sat alone. Amen. Preacher, you sound like we're not supposed to have any friends. That's not what I believe is the point here. But if you were in the service this morning, if you weren't, let me refresh your memory or let you know what we said, is that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And when I choose to not run with those that mock my Savior, not even sit with them, you know what I'm doing? Is I'm drawing nigh to Christ. My food is different. I feast, I consume, I digest, I love, I want more of this book. And my friends are different. But yes, many times I'm going to be lonely. Thank God for a church family.
Amen.
Many times I'm lonely. And Jeremiah, he's speaking to the Lord. He's talking to God. He's praying.
Amen.
He's saying, God, I'm not going to sit in the assembly with those mockers. I'm not going to rejoice with them. But God, I'm sitting all alone here because of thy hand. Notice what he says. Because of thy hand. God, why do you want me to be all by myself? God, what's going on here? I don't understand. Listen to me. Sometimes you need to be alone so God can speak to you, so God can work in your heart, so God can grow you up, so God can make you and mold you like He wants you to be. See, our lives are so filled with noise. We can't even hear God's voice. Right. Oh, there's so much to say here. Jesus said, go thou into thy closet. When thou prayest, go into thy closet. It doesn't have to be a literal closet, but it needs to be a private place. Right. Alone with God. Right. You remember I told you, I preached to you a few weeks ago, I guess it was a couple months ago now, on how God got Jacob alone, and then he wrestled with that angel all night long, and he prevailed, and God blessed him, and God gave him favor, and God changed his name even to Israel. Jacob the trickster and the liar and the thief to Israel, the son, the prince of God, a prince with God. Whew. Why? Because God got, the Bible says right there in that verse, it says, and when Jacob was alone. We need to be alone once in a while. We need to not worry about how many friends we have right now. And we need to worry about, dear God, am I the friend of Jesus? Am I close to you? Do you want me to do something different? I mean, God's never going to call you to the mission field. God's never going to call you to any service or Him. God's never even going to really be there until you take the time to make Him priority and get alone with Him.
Yep. Right.
Alone. I go out back. You've been to my house. There's a little shed right out the back of my door, and that's only for one reason. That's the sacred prayer closet. No, it's not. It's a shed. But that's, I bought that thing a few years ago because God began to convict me about this. And I bought that shed when we had some money. And I go in that shed. I got a little desk in there and a little lamp. And then we got Ninja.
Amen.
Amen. No, not amen.
Amen.
So I go out there in the morning, early in the morning, and that dog hears me. And he starts chewing on everything in the vicinity. And two nights ago, I'm not lying to you. I don't swear, but I promise you, he was knocking on the door. I'm not kidding. I thought, what is going on? I'm trying to pray. He doesn't even have a tail. It's about that long. So, you know, he's not wagging his tail against the door. So what in the world is he doing? Well, the kids had some pallets out there, and they were building some planters. You're going to see them out here in one of these days. Well, he had a piece of wood he was chewing on, and I guess he was just kind of going like this, and it was dong, bang, bang, bang. He was knocking on the door. I said, dear God, this is not going to work.
I guess God was teaching them how to knock.
Yeah, knock and it shall be opened unto you, right? No, it was not opened unto him. Anyway, I'm not bitter, but I did tell Samuel. I told the kids, listen, do something about that dog. I'm gonna hang that dog by a nail somewhere. If that dog's not put up, locked up, because I don't like to be interrupted. I don't like to be interrupted when I'm alone with God. Listen, I have to feed you. I have to take care of a family. I have to love my wife. I have to honor God. But so do you. You don't have to preach, but you do have responsibilities. You need God's grace. You need God's strength. You need God's help. You need His Holy Spirit. You need wisdom. You need direction. You need guidance. You need more faith. You need to be alone with God. And it's not going to happen as long as you're running around with a bunch of worldly outfits. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together lest they be agreed? No, they can't. You can't walk with somebody who's not agreed with you. You must have different friends. You must not love the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If people are mocking and laughing, Just go ahead and resign yourself. Lord, if I have to sit alone, I'll sit alone. But I'm not going to let the world take me away from you. My food is going to be different than the world's food. My friends are going to be different than the world's friends. But I want you to understand something. Verse 18. Thirdly, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable? Perpetual means constant, ongoing. This man was suffering. He was suffering. Why is my pain perpetual, my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Wait a minute, Jeremiah. Now you're getting dangerously close to accusing God. He says, God, are you a liar? I want you to notice something. I'm going to pull this out here if I can. Just because we're fundamentalists and our food is the Word of God and our friends are not of this world, we still have sinful flesh. Listen now. It doesn't. Being a fundamentalist, a fundamental Baptist, does not make us perfect. It does not make us holier than thou. It does not make us greater than anyone else. But we still have that flesh. We still have those doubts. We still have those fears. We still have those perplexities. We still have those pains. We still have those wounds. We still get sick. We still get grumpy. Okay, well, you don't. Maybe you don't, but I do.
Right.
Thank you, Brother Benny. We still have weaknesses. We're not arrived yet. We haven't got there yet. We're not in heaven yet. Jeremiah was a man filled with the grace and Spirit of God. Jeremiah was a preacher who preached faithfully, and he did not shut up. He did not stop, but his flesh was still weak. And I'm just trying to encourage you tonight to understand that you're going to have bad days.
Right.
You're going to have bad days. And you're going to start questioning God. That's what he's doing. He's questioning God, why is this happening to me? You say, is that good? Is that right? It all depends on your spirit. If you're coming to God with a rebellious spirit and saying, God, why is this happening to me? Well, that's wrong. But if you're humble and you're hurting, you're saying, God, why is this pain not going away? Why is this not stopping? God, did I misunderstand you? God, did you lie to me? Of course, we know he didn't lie to us, but it's just our weakness. It's our flesh. We cannot let that make us think that we're worthless, that we're no good, that we might as well give up, because you're not going to get away from that old wicked, worthless, sinful flesh until you get to heaven.
Right.
Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. The flesh lusteth against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. But the Bible says, if I walk in the spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when I get to, I know that this is not, listen, if you start praying and saying, God, are you lying to me? You better stop right there and say, whoa, wait a minute. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit's going to stop you right there and say, whoa, wait a minute. Who are you talking to? You know God can't lie. I know God can't lie. But we still have our problems, don't we? God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jeremiah saying, God, did you lie to me? Why? Because he was hurting. Was he wrong? No. Was he right? He was preaching the Bible. Was he a fundamental Baptist? Absolutely. Was he perfect? No. He was still weak in flesh. You can't stay there, though. You can't stay there. But when you get there, not if, when you get there, don't kill yourself. Don't decide to go hang yourself because you're a worthless, no good for nothing, nothing. That's Satan. That's your flesh. You got to get there and realize, oh, my soul, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His long suffering. Thank God for His salvation. I'm a child of God. I'm complete in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. He is all sufficient to me. I know God's not lying to me. Be dead, my flesh. Slay that old rotting flesh and get back right with God. But realize it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Our flesh is still weak. Oh boy, if you knew how weak. Well, you do know how weak your flesh is. Preacher, why? Some days I just feel so discouraged. Well, because you're probably trying to stand for truth in a world full of lies. It could be that you're just wallowing around in sin, but I'm not preaching to heathen trying to do wrong. I'm preaching to God's people who are here on a Sunday night, who are going to be here on Wednesday night, who should be here, and some of you are coming on soul winning, and if you can. And it's a matter of what, God, I'm trying to be a fundamental Baptist. I'm trying to stick to the basic truths of the doctrines. I'm not trying to stray, but God, I still have a bad day. I still failed. Lord God, I messed up. But God, I'm hurting. My pain won't go away. It may be physical. It may be emotional. It may be mental. But it's pain. And then you start to doubt God. The best of the best have been in their flesh doubting. Jeremiah, I believe the best of the best, with the best, the elite, the man of God, doubting God. It's going to happen. Don't beat yourself up. Just don't stay there. Quickly. Identification marks of a fundamental Baptist. Yes, our food is the Word of God. Our friends are not of this world. Our flesh is still weak, however. But listen, but we have learned to be faithful. Verse 19. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. See, therefore, thus saith the Lord. If thou wilt return, now he's speaking to Jeremiah, praise God, amen. Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. And thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Let me explain that to you real quick. Jeremiah was in bad shape in verse 18, but he didn't stop praying. And in verse 19, hey, God answered. God said, Jeremiah, if thou wilt return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. What's he saying? He said, Jeremiah, I know you're hurting. I know they're persecuting you. I know you're standing up for truth. I know they don't love you. But listen, just return, get back off out of your flesh, get back to where you need to be, and you'll be able to stand again. What does that mean? What is faithfulness, preacher? Faithfulness means I never mess up. Faithfulness means I never have a bad day. Does faithfulness mean I never doubt God? Does being faithful mean I never say something I shouldn't say? Does being faithful mean that I never argue with my wife? Does being faithful mean that I never disobey my parents? Oh, no, listen. Being faithful means that even though I'm sinful and I'm in my flesh and I have bad days, God is who I need. And when God speaks to me, I get back up.
Amen.
That's what being faithful means. Get back up. Don't stay there. Being faithful means I'm going to get back up and do what I know is right, even though I'm having a really bad day. Because I know God is still there. Don't miss the point that Jeremiah is praying here. He's not giving up on God. He's saying some things that you and I probably wouldn't say. God, why'd you lie to me? But you know, you might as well just say it. If it's in your heart, God already knows.
Right.
Don't try to outsmart God in your prayer life. It don't do any good.
Right.
Just talk to Him. And then, lo and behold, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, what does that mean? Jeremiah, get back up. Then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. Whew, man, I can't tell you how many times God has said something like that, similar to to me. When you serve the Lord, when you decide to stand for truth, those are the words that you long to hear. God says, come back. I'm still here. Return. Return from where? From where you're over there doubting me, in fear, messed up, ready to quit. Return. That means about face and come back to me. If thou return, take the first step, and God will take the next one for you. Take the first step back, and God will take the next one for you. He says, if you'll return, then I'll bring thee again. He says, if you'll take that first step toward me, I'll get you back. God knows us. You know, this has to help you if you're trying to serve the Lord. Listen, this is going to help you. You just need to pay attention to what I'm saying. Keep praying. Keep telling God the truth. Keep pouring out your heart to God. Keep letting Him know, God, I'm hurting. God, I don't like this. God, I don't know if this is what I really wanted. God, I don't know why this is happening. God, did you lie to me? God, why are you failing me? Is God going to get angry at me for saying that? Not if you're just really trying to get help. Jeremiah said, God, I need your help. Help. And he saw, listen, you know what God saw in verse 18? God saw a man with a broken heart. And God answered him. Do you remember the last time you were praying about something that was hurting and God answered? Oh, I do. I do. I was hurting. God, I'm hurting. God, this ain't turning out like it's supposed to. And God said, if thou return, I'll bring thee back. Turn around. Take that first step. In other words, get up. Go forward. And I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm a fundamental Baptist, but I still have sinful flesh. But I've learned to be faithful. That's what God wants from us. To be faithful. Verse 20. He says, God's speaking to him now. What a blessed. This is beautiful. He says, I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Listen, our food is the Word of God. Our friends are not of this world. Our flesh is still weak and sinful and full of doubts. But we've learned to get back up and just keep going because God is faithful and we can be faithful. And then our fortitude, our strength, our protection is still God and His perfect promises. Look what He says in verse 20. I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. Glory to God. God says, I know you're hurting, Jeremiah. I know you're doubting me, but listen, I'm going to answer your prayer right here and right now, and I'm going to promise you that you have nothing to worry about. I'm not going to let them destroy you. I'm not going to let them overtake you. I am going to save you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Our fortitude, our strength is still our God.
Amen.
Our God. Is He alive or not? Amen?
Amen.
Is He alive or not? Amen. Is He still Jehovah God, the only living God, the one and true only God? He's still the one that we depend on.
Right.
I'm going to read verse 20 again. I like verse 20. I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall. They can't touch you. They can't get over the wall. They can't get through the wall. They can't get under the wall. They shall fight against thee. Notice that. They shall fight against thee. But Jeremiah is not worried about it because God says, but they shall not prevail. Isn't that a blessed truth? Why? Because you're perfect? Because you're better than them? No, because you're just simply sticking to the fundamentals of the faith of the Word of God and doing what you know is right, preaching the truth, standing for me, I'll stand for you. That's what God said. Whew. Man, I tell you what, I find tremendous comfort in that. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40 quickly. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm talking about being a fundamentalist, sticking to the fundamentals, the basic, the truths of the Bible. Don't try to look for a new way. Don't try to find a new church, a new Bible, a new method, a new doctrine, a new gospel. Stick to what you know is true.
Yep.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? It's like God saying, don't you know? Haven't you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Haven't you heard? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the who? The who?
Faint.
Jeremiah was faint.
Right.
Are you listening to me? Jeremiah was weak. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Why? Because in your weakness, God said, My strength is made perfect.
Right.
Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Look, look, look. It's going to happen.
Right. Yep.
But God says, wait upon the Lord. You shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, I have all the power you need. I have all the might you need. I have all the strength you need. Even when you're faint, even when you're weary, even when you fall, wait on the Lord. And you'll mount up with wings as eagles. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lay down. Don't die. Don't roll over and give up on God. Get a hold of God. Get on your knees in prayer. And be honest with God. And let Him know that you're faint. Let Him know that you're weak. And He says, in that weakness, I will gloriously and powerfully come in and swoop down and pick you up. And you'll be soaring like eagles before you know it. Glory to God. We have a good God. And that's an understatement. Our fortitude, our strength is still God at our weakest moment. Turn back to Jeremiah 15. I'm talking to you about being a fundamentalist and just sticking to the truth, not wavering. Oh, the world wants you to change everything. Change the music, change the Bible, change the dress, change. Listen, forget all that. Forget it. I want to identify with the old past. I want to identify with God's Word. quickly our fortitude, but notice our fight. I will make thee unto this people a fence, brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee. I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked. I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Listen to me. We are going to face fights when we stand for truth. Our fight, listen now, listen. Our fight is what makes people persecute us. Let me say that again. Our fight is what makes people persecute us. We stand for truth and righteousness, and we do not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idols. We do not bow down to Babylon's gods. We do not bow down to this world's goods. We stand, and we not only do we not bow down, but we stand and we preach and we proclaim and we do the gospel best to make the world know that I do not agree with that. I stand firmly against that. And when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifteth, raises up a banner against that wickedness. And I stand with the banner of God that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. But that's why they fight us, because they don't like us standing against them. All I can tell you is, if you're going to be a fundamental Baptist, you're going to have to understand the rest of your life is going to be a good fight of the faith. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Preacher, I thought we weren't supposed to fight. Well, I'm not talking about fisticuffs. I'm talking about fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm talking about putting on the armor of God, able to withstand the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm talking about standing for truth. I'm talking about raising my children the way God says to raise my children. I'm talking about loving my wife and running my home the way God says to run my home. I'm talking about running a church and working the ministry of the church the way God says to work the church. I'm talking about singing the music that God says is sacred and holy. I'm talking about speaking the things that God says to speak. And in doing so, I am fighting the world. That's why they don't like us. That's why they don't like us. You're going to have to get used to it. But the fact is, verse 21, the final word in the chapter, I will deliver thee. We're safe, folks. We're safe.
Amen.
We're safe. Isaiah 54, 17. I'm done. Isaiah 54, 17. This was J. Frank Norris's life verse. If you know him, he was a fighter. He was a fighter. He's a man that came out of the Southern Baptist Convention and really started the whole fundamental Baptist movement that we have today. His church was down in Fort Worth, Texas, right down the street. The First Baptist Church of Fort Worth there, and it was the largest church. It was the largest church in all of this country. They had 8,000 people in Sunday school, and it was because he stood up and he fought the devil tooth and nail. And the Bible says, he actually had a man come into his office one day and threaten his life with a gun, and he had to shoot him. He said, preacher, is that what we're supposed to do? I don't know. I don't think so. But if somebody's threatening my life with a gun, I'll probably do the same thing. You should have just died. Well, maybe he felt like it wasn't God's will for him to die just yet. You take that up with him when you get to heaven. But, you know, we need some people that are willing to fight for what's right.
Right.
Verse 17 of Isaiah 54 was his life verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God said there's nothing in this world that they can invent, the biggest cannon, the biggest bazooka, the biggest tank, the biggest nuclear bomb. If they drop a nuclear bomb in your next door neighbor's house, if it's not my will for you to die, it will not prosper because you belong to me.
Amen.
Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you really believe that? As a fundamental Baptist, as one who stands for the fundamentals of this truth, of this Bible, then we have to come to the place that our food must be this book. Our friends must not be of this world. Our flesh is still our flesh, though we're going to have bad days. But we've learned to be faithful. We've learned to get back up and just keep going because our fortitude, our strength is God's Word. Our fight is going to keep fighting. We know we're in a fight, but the final word is always going to be God's Word. God's Word shall stand. God's Word shall stand. And it did today. It did today. And it will tomorrow. And it will next week. Fundamental Baptist. I am, by the grace of God, a fundamentalist. I believe it's true. Cover to cover. Word for word. The word of the Lord is right. Every word of God is pure. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable. Every bit of it. But you must learn to eat it. Consume it. Stay away from those friends who mock it. Don't laugh with them. Don't rejoice with them. Don't make them feel like you agree with them just so they don't laugh at you. Don't do that. Stand up and just stand up and fight. God's got the final word. They're not going to prevail against you. Father, I pray you bless your word. I pray that it would be a strength and encouragement to your people. Thank you for the good day.